This passage here in Psalm 90 was a verse actually that the Lord laid on my heart on Thursday when Pastor began to have the issues that he was experiencing on Thursday. I didn't really know what was in store, and unfortunately, as an assistant pastor, you begin to think more than likely somebody's possibly going to have to be ready for Sunday. At that point, I didn't know for sure, but God had laid this passage on my heart, and just thinking all that has happened this year and all that's happened this last week. And actually, the very next morning, Friday morning, the verses that were part of Pastor's devotional were from Psalm 90, and he emailed that out Friday morning. And I didn't know if that was confirmation or it was the Lord telling me to preach from some other passage. So I just really believe that this would be kind of a launching point here in Psalm 90. The Bible says in verse number 12, "So teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom." You know, in recent days and over the last 2 years, we have been reminded that our time here on earth is limited. We don't know how much time we have. Nobody here knows. We would make expectations that, you know, we would have, as is said there in verse 10, that we would have 70, that we'd have 70 years. Possibly that we'd have 80, that we could have 80 years. But it might not be God's desire for us to be here that long. The passage that, or the poem that Pastor shared in his devotional from C.T. Studd was that "Only One Life." I'm not going to read that poem here for you this morning, but the reality is that we have just one life to live it, and what we do for Christ is what is going to last in eternity. When we stand in heaven and we begin to look for our mansion, like, you know, you check in at a hotel, "Where's my room? Where's my mansion?" I don't think it's going to be that way. You know, we sing the songs and those are great. There's much blessing in heaven. But I think what really is going to matter to us is, where is my Savior? I want to see Jesus Christ. That's what matters to me. It's not going to be the physical things within heaven. And when you live your life for God, one day you will have nothing else to do but fall before Him humbly, not worried about anything else because of what He's done in your life. And when we consider that, every day is a gift. Every breath that we take is a precious gift. You know, we have a brand new baby in the back, and that baby is a gift from the Lord. I remember the first time that, you know, we had a child born and I became a father. It really, there was just this thing that came over me, and I just started crying. Now, the doctor looked at me, well, actually with Joshua, I was not able to cut the cord, but I think by Julia, I had the opportunity to actually see through the tears and actually cut the cord that was attached to Julia. But the first two times, the tears just flowed because I realized, look, here's a child that God has given to me. And for those of you moms that have, well, if you're a mom, you've been through it, but dads, maybe some of you were there and you experienced it. There's no other feeling that can really describe it. And to realize that we have this gift from the Lord. Now, my name, Nathan, means a gift from the Lord. So I've used that on my parents, my siblings, many times. Don't forget, I am a gift from the Lord. And even though I'm torturing you right now, this is a gift from the Lord. But every breath that we take in our own life is a gift from God. What are we doing with that gift? You know, if you walked up to the Christmas tree and underneath that Christmas tree there was but one present for you, you began to open that present and inside that present was just a card and it just said "life" on it. You think, what kind of present is that? You know, it's a piece of paper. But there is no gift that could compare to the gift of life. We have it. And whenever that life comes to an end, we need to be determined all the way until that day to seek the Lord. Today I want to talk to you about the subject, to seek the Lord from start to finish. To seek the Lord from start to finish. As we've started into a new year, 2022, have you adjusted writing the date yet? You know, on our phones and our, you know, our computers, they obviously adjust. You know, Y2K was a long time ago when everybody panicked what was going to happen when it switched to from 19, I mean, that seems like a long time ago, to 2000. How many of you here today remember that? You remember that New Year's Eve? You remember that New Year's Eve? Most of you are not raising your hand. I know you're alive then, so you remember the turn of the millennium, right? The turn of the century. All right, some of you do. Some of you choose not to remember it. Some of you maybe just can't remember it, and that's fine as well. But I remember as a teenager hearing all these sorts of things, and isn't it funny how our world tends to panic about things? And they were panicking then. And, you know, what's going to happen? I remember looking at the computer, and sure enough, when that it changed to midnight, it said 2000. Nothing happened. And I've been through many years since then, you know, the change of the new year, and yet it's not like this magical thing takes place. But do you realize that every year that we have is an indicator of the life that God has blessed us with? Have you ever counted up the number of days in your life? I figured the other day when I was preparing for this that there would be a calculator online that you could verify the number of days that you've been alive. I did not sit down and count them, but I put my birth date into that calculator that I found on Google, and it tells me that as of today, January 2nd, 2022, I have been alive for 13,845 days. Now, does that seem like a lot? Well, I'm only 37. I think that's what I am. Yeah, 37. I'll be 38 in February. You're older than me, then you've been alive a lot longer than possibly than that. But you consider the amount of days that you've been alive. 13,845 for me. If I live until I'm 82 years old, the day of March 27, 2066, I will have been alive for 30,000 days at 82 years of age. Now, do you realize that every one of those days was a precious gift from God? Now, I may not have had the understanding in the early days of my life of what it meant to live for God. Really, all that I cared about was making sure that I was getting fed. Some of us still worry about that, you know, we've got to have the food. But every day that we have to live is a potential to live it for God. Here in Psalm 90, Psalm 90 is the oldest psalm in the book of Psalms. It is written by the psalmist, well, we don't know him as a psalmist, but Moses. Moses was not the writer of most of the psalms that we read. We tend to think about David for the most part. Asaph wrote several of the psalms as well. And then there's other writers in the book of Psalms. But Moses wrote the words here of Psalm 90. And Moses says this in verse 12, "Teach us to number our days, to weigh out or to allot or really to appoint to or to appoint for." And Moses, the Bible records that he lived to be 120 years old. That's a lot of days to be alive. Moses, I believed, finished what God had set out for his life. Now, sadly, because of Moses' one mistake of getting angry at the people and responding in such a way where he began to smite the rock for the water rather than speaking to it as God had instructed, Moses failed in that one day and would not be able to enter the promised land. Do you realize that one day is just as important as every other day? Moses made one choice that affected the outcome. But still, I believe that Moses finished what God had set him to do. If you remember, Moses passed the baton off to Joshua. Joshua became the next leader of the people of Israel as they went into that promised land, as they began to see the battles. And one of the very first battles to fight was the city of Jericho. And as they watched those walls come down and watched the hand of God work, Joshua would be the leader for years to come and has been passed down from this man, Moses. Moses lived and Moses served the Lord in the days that he was given. You say, well, you know, I've lived 40 years, I've lived 45 years, I've lived 50 years, and I lost 25, 30 years of my life. I wasted them. There's no way that we can change what we did in those other days, but there is a way that we can change what we are going to do in the coming days. Now, as we look at this thought about seeking the Lord, I want to encourage you and remind you today as we get into 2022, seek God every single day. Every single day. Every day matters. Every single day of our life is important. As we launch from this passage, we're going to begin to look at King David, his son Solomon, who was also a king, and then his grandson Rehoboam, who was also a king, and just see how their lives played out as when they sought the Lord or they did not. So number one here this morning, just three very simple points as we look at this passage. Number one, seek the Lord for today. Seek the Lord for today. Look with me, if you would, in Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse number 29. Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse number 29. Here we have none other than Moses giving instructions. Verse 29, he gives the people a warning. Really, what's going to happen if they follow the instructions. Verse 29, he says, "But if from thence thou shalt seek the Lord thy God, thou shalt find him, if thou seek him with all thy heart and with all thy soul." Turn now, if you would, please, to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, verse number 32. In Matthew 6, it's the continuation of the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus is speaking to his disciples. It's a time of teaching. And Jesus is instructing his disciples about the things that are daily needs, the essentials of life. He says we're not to take thought for these things. And this phrase here, to take thought of, is what we would know is to be anxious about. We might know it to worry about. Philippians 4:6 is the same word, be careful for nothing. It means worry about nothing, take thought about nothing. He's saying, don't worry about anything, trust the Lord. In verse number 32 of Matthew 6, it says this, "For after all these things, the necessities, the basics of life, do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things." But verse 33, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." And then verse 34, "Take therefore no thought," or don't worry about. It says, "Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof." We have a great reminder from Jesus, from the Lord Jesus, that if we worry about tomorrow, we are never going to get to tomorrow, and we're going to struggle through every single day, because we failed to seek God in the day that is in front of us. I want to say, first of all, underneath this, is that seeking the Lord is every man's purpose. Seeking the Lord is every man's purpose. Go, if you would, to Acts chapter 17, please. Acts chapter number 17. Seeking the Lord is every man's purpose. Acts chapter number 17, verse number 24. It says, "God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is the Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands. Neither is worshipped with man's hands as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things." Verse 26, "And hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation, that they should seek the Lord, if happily they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as certain also of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. For as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is like unto gold or silver or stone, graven by art and man's device." I want you to notice, first of all, verse 24, God that made the world, the one is creator. In verse number 25, it tells us that God cannot be worshipped in things that are made with hands. God is not a statue. God is not an idol. But verse 26, we learn that every person in this world is part of one race. There are not a multiplicity of races, okay? We have something in our world that teaches about racism. where we think less of another race. Understand that there is but one race in this world, and it's called the human race. If you're not a part of a human race, then you're not a human. Okay? The Bible says here that God hath made of one blood all nations. God hath made of one blood all nations of men. Now, we may have wide variety of nationalities, of ethnicities, we might say. You might be from one country and somebody else might be from another country, but you're still a part of this one blood that God created. Why did God create us? Look in verse number 27, that they should seek the Lord. The one purpose that God made us for, yes, to bring glory to Him, but how do we bring glory to Him? By seeking Him. By recognizing our need for God to work in our life. He's the Creator. He's the one that's fashioned us. And He designed us to seek after Him. Now every person has a choice to make, whether or not they will seek Him. But God is the one that we are to seek. It is every man's purpose. The idea of seeking the Lord, by way kind of a definition, to seek would be to search out, specifically possibly through worship or through time of prayer. I want to give you just a number of words here to kind of think about what it means to seek the Lord. One would be to strive after. Another, to ask, to beg, to beseech, to desire, to inquire, to make inquisition, or to request. Now for children, you've learned that mom and dad provide for your needs. And when you get older, maybe mom and dad still help you out. And I know that oftentimes I've had to reach out to my parents possibly for help. But you know, as parents, we begin to think that we're all on our own. May I remind you that we are completely dependent upon the Lord? Though at times we don't recognize it. Every breath that we take is dependent upon God. You can't work up enough energy in your own power in the sense to have another breath. If God chooses that your life is gone, there's no way that you can fight it. I'm thankful that we have been given this gift of life, but we are to seek God every day of our life. Every day matters, and so because of that, I need to recognize from the very beginning of it that I will seek the Lord today. Seeking the Lord is every man's purpose. Now what I want to do, I want to look at the instructions that David gave to Solomon back in 1 Chronicles chapter 22. So if we can go to there, and we'll begin to look at what God did from David to his son to his grandson within the realm of seeking the Lord. We'll see the results of it in their life. 1 Chronicles chapter number 22. We'll read several verses here. 1 Chronicles chapter 22. The Bible says that then David said, "This is the house of the Lord God. This is the altar of the burnt offering for Israel. David commanded to gather together the strangers that were in the land of Israel. And he set masons to hew wrought stones to build the house of God. David prepared iron in abundance for the nails for the doors of the gates and for the joinings, and brass in abundance without weight. Also cedar trees in abundance for the Zidonians, and they of Tyre brought much cedar wood to David. And David said, Solomon, my son, is young and tender, and the house that is to be builded for the Lord must be exceeding magnificent, of fame and of glory throughout all countries. I will therefore now make preparation for it. So David prepared abundantly before his death." We have in this passage really a vision that David had before his, or far past his life. David had desire to build a house for God. Now we just read in Acts chapter 17, there is no way that something that is made with hands could really be something that is even comparable to the God of this universe. But we find here that David wants to build something that is for our great God, and so he wants it to be great. He wants it to be something that we might say is valuable, something that recognizes the glory, the splendor of God. May I remind you that no matter how big or how great a building is, God, when He comes into that place, it is in an exceeding sense where God's presence comes and fills the place. If you remember the tabernacle that the people of Israel made in that holiest place there at the Ark of the Covenant, went the cloud of the glory that exceeded. And the Bible talks about how it filled, the presence of the Lord filled that place. Now, far smaller, that was far smaller compared to the temple that eventually Solomon would build. But even when Solomon dedicated the temple, the Bible would record that the glory of the Lord, the presence of God, would fill that place in excess. Here in this room, we have just a small place here. But you know what? If we would seek the Lord as a church, this little room right here could be a place that experiences the presence of the Lord like no other place. The presence of the Lord came down in that upper room where the apostles met. And they went out and they saw God work abundantly. We have a mission this year to get the truth out. You say, I don't have the ability to speak to people. None of us do. Some might be better talkers than others. But do you realize that as you begin to present truth, you are entering a battlefield? You are entering a battleground where as soon as you begin to speak, the devil comes along. Satan and his demonic hosts begin to battle against you. I don't know how many times I've pulled down a street to go knock on doors and I just felt this overcoming thing that said, let's go home. I don't want to do this. And as I walk up to that first door, and then God just gives some kind of a confidence, not in myself, but as you begin to knock and you realize I have no idea what question these people are going to ask. I yield myself to the Lord. There's something about seeking God for His help and recognizing our own desperate need for Him to come through in our life. Let's continue reading here in 1 Chronicles 22. It tells us, then he called, verse 6, then he called for Solomon his son and charged him to build an house for the Lord God of Israel. David said to Solomon, my son, as for me, it was in my mind to build an house unto the name of the Lord my God. But the word of the Lord came to me, saying, thou hast shed blood abundantly, and hast made great wars. Thou shalt not build an house unto my name, because thou hast shed much blood upon the earth in my sight. Behold, a son shall be born to thee, who shall be a man of rest, and I will give him rest from all his enemies round about. For his name shall be Solomon, and I will give peace and quietness unto Israel in his days. Look down in verse number 13. It says, then shalt thou prosper if thou takest heed to fulfill the statutes and judgments which the Lord charged Moses with concerning Israel. Be strong and of good courage. Dread not, nor be dismayed. Now behold, in my trouble I have prepared for the house of the Lord 100,000 talents of gold and 1,000,000 talents of silver and of brass and iron without weight, for it is in abundance. Timber also and stone have I prepared. And thou mayest add thereto. Moreover, there are workmen with thee in abundance, hewers and workers of stone and timber, and all manner of cunning men for every manner of work. Of the gold, the silver, and the brass, and the iron, there is no number. Arise therefore and be doing, and the Lord be with thee. David also commanded all the princes of Israel to help Solomon his son, saying, is not the Lord your God with you? And hath he not given you rest on every side? For he hath given the inhabitants of the land into mine hand, and the land is subdued before the Lord and before his people. Now notice verse 19. Now set your heart and your soul to seek the Lord your God. Arise therefore, and build ye the sanctuary of the Lord God, to bring the ark of the covenant of the Lord, and the holy vessels of God into the house that is to be built, to the name of the Lord. King David goes through and walks through with his son Solomon and says, Solomon, everything has been prepared and provided for you. You have all the materials that you need. In fact, there's an abundance of the materials. He says you have all the laborers that you need. He begins to walk through the different positions, the different trades that were going to be needed for this building. He says you have it all. But in the final verse of this chapter, he was warning Solomon not to neglect the most important thing. And in verse 19, he says, set your heart and your soul to seek the Lord your God. You see, Solomon could have just sat back and said, I've got all the materials, I've got all the workers, now all I have to do is manage the project. How many of us just kind of manage the projects of our life just to get through? We go from work, we go to work from day to day, and we know how it's all going to work out, we think. We just kind of depend on what we have and what we're doing. We fail to seek God. David said, Solomon, you've got everything that you need, physically speaking. He says, do not neglect the most important part. It's funny because he was building a temple for God. You know what can happen in churches? Is that we can focus so much on doing the quote-unquote work of the Lord that we neglect our walk with the Lord. And at that point, we become just more like robots or things that have been just programmed in the sense I'm doing what I'm doing because what I know to do. God wants most from every person is for us to truly seek Him. Every single day, seek Him. To recognize in humility my dependence, my need for Him. David charged Solomon to seek the Lord. So first of all, seek the Lord today. Seek the Lord for today. Number two, seek the Lord until the finish. Seek the Lord until the finish. Now this is still a day-by-day seeking of God. It's still a continual daily surrender. Again, do not look into tomorrow and miss the today that God has given to you. Seek God today. Seek the Lord until the finish. Solomon, first of all, began with a heart for God. Solomon started very well. Go with me, if you would, to 2 Chronicles chapter 1. 2 Chronicles chapter 1. I mean, if we could start the way that Solomon started, our life would be great. Our life's great regardless. But 2 Chronicles chapter 1, verse number 11, Solomon has been given the opportunity to ask of God whatever his heart desired. And it says, and God said to Solomon, 2 Chronicles 1, verse 11, God said to Solomon, because this was in thine heart, and thou hast not asked riches, whether or honor, or wealth or honor, nor the life of thine enemies, neither yet hast asked long life, but hast asked wisdom and knowledge for thyself, that thou mayest judge my people over whom I have made thee king. Wisdom and knowledge is granted unto thee, and I will give thee riches and wealth and honor, such as none of the kings have had that have been before thee, neither shall there any after thee have the like. God here is presenting Solomon with really something that we could not purchase. He said, Solomon, because you have not asked for possessions, for wealth, he says, I am going to give you wisdom and I'm going to bless you with all of those things as well. You see, Solomon's heart recognized, I could use a lot of those things. What I really need is godly wisdom. Moses wrote there in Psalm 90, verse 12, so teach us to number our days so that we may apply our hearts wisdom. To get through this life, we need wisdom. We need God's direction. We are living in a very difficult time right now. And honestly, at times it seems as if it will not end. It seems as if our life, though a virus may eventually leave, it seems as though how could we ever go back to a way that we once knew? I know civilizations change and generations change and the practice of the way that people are living change over time. But it would seem at times that the longer this thing stretches out that we're facing, the less likely it is to go away. I remind you that over these last 2 years, we should have come to a place where we have sought the Lord, where we have realized, you know what? I'm not going to knock our government. Our government has done all it can in its power to deal with this, but I think man has to admit we can't do this on our own. We can't get through this on our own. You see, so many times we think, well, if I just get stronger, if I just eat better, if I just get more money, if I have better friends, if I get around higher people, then my life will be better, and that's not the truth. The truth is, the lower that you get to the floor before God, the more you will see His hand at work in your life. Dependence upon Him. Solomon had the opportunity to seek the Lord for anything he desired, and he chose wisdom. But Solomon's heart was turned away. Go with me, if you would, to 1 Kings chapter 11. 1 Kings chapter 11. Solomon started well, but he did not finish well. 1 Kings chapter 11, the Bible says in verse number 1, but Solomon loved many strange women. Notice the plural of the word woman there is the word women. Now God's desire for every man in the sense of marriage was one man and one woman, a husband and a wife. Now our world has complicated that in so many different ways. And even in Scripture, when you begin to see multiple wives within a home, it caused problems. Now, this went farther than just having multiple wives. The Bible says that he loved strange women. Solomon wrote about these women in Proverbs multiple times. And the goal, the desire of the strange woman is to cause the destruction of the man. You see, Satan's desire is ultimately for every man to stumble, to struggle, to fail. And we learn from the book of Proverbs that the desire of the strange woman was to lead every man to destruction. You don't believe me? Read Proverbs chapter 7. Read Proverbs 5. I think it's in Proverbs 6 as well. Multiple times where the strange woman comes onto the scene and it's being aware of the dangers. Solomon failed to heed his own counsel, his own wisdom that God had given to him in his own life. And look what took place. The Bible says in verse number 6 of 1 Kings chapter 11, and Solomon did evil in the sight of the Lord and went not fully after the Lord as did his father, as did David his father. Then did Solomon build an high place for Chemosh, the abomination of Moab in the hill that is before Jerusalem, and for Molech, the abomination of the children of Ammon. You see, Solomon went from building a temple for the holy God, Yahweh, the God of the universe, the Creator God, to now building places of worship or the false gods. How did it happen? It happened because he stopped seeking the Lord at one point in his life. May I remind you that every day is important. It is important that you make the right decision in every single moment. You say, how can I do it? You do it on your knees. You do it before the Lord and telling him, God, I need your wisdom for today. You see, what's happened in the lives of young people and adults that have strayed away, there was at one time one decision, though it may seem to have been small at a point, began to cause them to turn into the wrong direction. And unfortunately, there's young people that are not in church today. There are adults that are no longer in church today. They are no longer walking with the Lord because possibly that one day, that one decision began to swerve away. There was a time when Solomon chose to marry a second wife. And before he knew it, he'd have 700 wives. And I can't even comprehend what that means. Just, my goodness. But then 300 concubines. One preacher, I think it was Brother Tom Farrell, he used to call them cucumber vines, these concubines. But they were a problem for Solomon. And we learn in verse number 9 of this same passage, it says the Lord was angry with Solomon because his heart was turned from the Lord God of Israel. Solomon had been warned all about this. God had warned him. Yet he failed to continue to seek the Lord. I challenge you to seek the Lord until the finish. It's not just enough to start well. You must seek the Lord until that very last day comes. You might live through that 30,000th day. I don't know. Maybe not. Maybe you'll live well past it. Whenever that last day comes, well, you have been known as one that sought the Lord, sought God in every moment, in every day. Seek the Lord until the finish. Lastly, this morning, seek the Lord for future generations. Seek the Lord for future generations. Look with me in 2 Chronicles now, chapter 11. 2 Chronicles, chapter 11. And we come to the life of Rehoboam. Rehoboam would be the grandson of King David, the son of Solomon. And we learn here in this passage that Rehoboam sort of started well. Now, before you get to this passage, you'll learn that Rehoboam had asked advice, asked counsel, as he began to take the throne. The Bible says that he asked counsel from the old men. I can't remember if that was the, there it is, verse 6 of chapter 10. Took counsel with the old men. and that had stood before Solomon, the servants, those that were counselors to Solomon. It says that Rehoboam had asked of them advice, but then he chose to reject that advice and get counsel from those that he grew up with. His peers, his friends, those that, you know, maybe he wanted to be popular with. I'd rather not heed the counsel from these guys over here. I'd rather heed the counsel of those that I know and you know, we get along pretty well. I want to encourage you, children, teenagers, heed the counsel of your parents over the counsel of your friends. Those that are the peers in your life oftentimes will lead you astray. I was asking somebody the other day about how they got into drugs and alcohol. He says, I just got around the wrong crowd. Back when he was in, I think, grade 9 or grade 10. Just got around the wrong crowd. Friends will lead you astray. Parents, teens, children, look to your parents. God has placed what we might call the umbrella of protection over our life, and parents are one of the top parts of people of that umbrella. Another one might be our pastor. I encourage you to get counsel from the pastor that God has placed in this church. Don't just see Pastor Turner as one that steps into this pulpit and preaches. I've been in churches where they thought the pastor was simply to preach and that was his job. No, the pastor is the idea of being a shepherd. The shepherd goes far beyond just the standing here in the pulpit. Yes, there is food here, but understand that it's sometimes in the quietness of an office space. It's sometimes in the quietness of a phone call. It's sometimes just, Pastor, can you pray for me right now? I'm making this decision. Help me to pray along with me that I'd make the right decision. Look, I encourage you, when you ask for that advice, be willing to heed that advice. Rehoboam chose to walk away from the counsel that he should have taken. But we still find, at least at the beginning, he did obey the Lord at one point. Look in 2 Chronicles 11. It says in verse number 2, But the word of the Lord came to Shemaiah, the man of God, saying, Speak unto Rehoboam, the son of Solomon, king of Judah, and to all Israel in Judah and Benjamin, saying, Thus saith the Lord, ye shall not go up, nor fight against your brethren. Return every man to his house, for this thing is done of me. And they obeyed the words of the Lord and returned from going against Jeroboam. And Rehoboam dwelt in Jerusalem and built cities for defense in Judah. Now we see here that there was a time that Rehoboam was obedient. He did obey the word of the Lord. And I encourage you, every time you see, thus saith the Lord, or when somebody preaches, thus saith the Lord, or the word of the Lord came unto this person, we need to listen to it. Truth received. That when it's given to us, we receive it. We allow it to be applied to our life. Don't just take it and say, well, you know, that was good. I enjoyed that message today, and then leave. Allow God to take it and make the application throughout the week as you begin to think about it. That's what meditation is all about. The Christian life is not just about reading your Bible. It's about getting in your Bible and allowing the Bible to get into you and to begin to transform your life. Bible meditation is thinking about, rethinking about, what God has given to you when the truth is presented. What are you doing with that? Are we allowing it to change, to transform our life? But eventually, Rehoboam forsook the law of the Lord. Look with me in the next chapter here in 2 Chronicles 12. It came to pass when Rehoboam had established the kingdom and had strengthened himself, he forsook the law of the Lord and all Israel with him. I want you to notice that phrase there. Verse 1, we see it. And then verse 13, we see it as well. The Bible says, and had strengthened himself. Strengthened himself. We see it as well there in verse 13. So King Rehoboam strengthened himself in Jerusalem. There's many times in our life that we'll face a struggle and we may think, well, if I just, you know, I buckle down and I just fight my way through it, I'll get through it. And oftentimes we can be strong enough, we can be stubborn enough, maybe get through. There may come a point in our life that God says, stop. Learn to trust me. And in that moment, you think, I can't do anything to solve this. There is nothing that I can do to change this. We have some missionary friends that are serving in China. Some of you in this room might know them. I'm not going to say their names because we are online. but the area that they're serving in, they are under heavy lockdown right now. I don't know if it's something with the Olympics or something, but at this point, they're in their homes to an unforeseen future. They're not allowed out for anything, not even food. And the government is supposedly bringing supplies around so that they have food. I think they have 8 people in their house. And a couple days ago, the government brought by about $5 worth of vegetables for their entire household. And I don't say this in any way to mock them, but as they as a family continue to seek the Lord for his provision, God provided an exceeding and abundant way. I showed the pictures at RU on Friday night. I don't have them here with me. But the comparison is like none other when you think about the difference. We often depend upon the government to bring us through. A government here is, I understand they're a great help. But if you are depending upon government funds to bring you through, then you're missing the point. See, God enables us to live in a bountiful country. Regardless if Canada recognizes it, the blessing is from the Lord, that we might be called what would be known as a first world nation. These are blessings of God. And do you understand that God can take those away in a moment? You see, well, I got a good job. It's not going to fall apart. You know, my employer will never run out of money. See, I work for Walmart. They're loaded. It's a corporation. You understand that Walmart ultimately depends upon the natural resources that God provided? Everything in this world is at one point natural, even plastic. At one point, everything that we see came from what? The earth. Now, it's been changed in different ways, and there's chemicals that are being used that are not necessarily safe for us when they're put together with other things, but understand they ultimately come from the very hand of God. And so there is nothing that your employer has some sort of power to make sure that all of this continues to be available. So when we place our dependence in a workplace or in a paycheck that we think is just going to continue to come or in a retirement plan, look, those things can crumble. They can collapse. May I remind you that the God that is still holding up the world does not. The Bible says in Colossians chapter 1 that he is before all things and by him all things consist to be held together. Christian, I want to challenge you and remind you today that we are so very dependent upon God. The Bible says Rehoboam strengthened himself. I can do this. No, you can't. Let's look at the difference of the response of his grandfather, King David. Go with me to 1 Samuel chapter 30, please. 1 Samuel chapter 30. We'll try and finish up here quickly. 1 Samuel chapter 30. Verse number 6, the Bible says, "And David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God." This word encouraged here is the same exact word that appears in 2 Chronicles chapter 12, verse number 13. It has to do with strengthening. It has to do with gaining strength. Where did David find strength? The Bible says he encouraged himself in the Lord is God. You see, it wasn't about, I'll just encourage myself, I'll read a good book, I'll listen to a good song, I'll talk to somebody. And no, it's encouraging yourself in the Lord. Now, God may use a good book to encourage you. God may use a good song to encourage you. God may use a friend to encourage you. But ultimately, recognizing the strength, the encouragement comes God. David was greatly distressed. David had great fear of what was going to happen, that they were going to come and take his life because of how things had gone under his leadership in this moment that he was in, greatly distressed. Yet he encouraged himself in the Lord. But Rehoboam thought, I could strengthen myself, period. You see, David went to the Lord. David sought the Lord for strength. David sought the Lord for his needs to be met. Rehoboam found strength in himself. Rehoboam failed in living for God because he failed to seek the Lord. Go back to 2 Chronicles 12 and verse number 14. The Bible says this in 2 Chronicles 12, verse 14. Rehoboam, and he did evil because he prepared not his heart to seek the Lord. He did evil because he prepared not his heart to seek the Lord. Why did he fail in living for God? Because he failed in seeking the Lord every single day. Every day matters. Every day is a gift. Every day matters that we choose to seek the Lord as we face it. Consider in closing the contrast between David's instructions and Rehoboam's outcome. Let's look in 1 Chronicles chapter 16. 1 Chronicles chapter 16 and verse number 7. 1 Chronicles 16, 7, it says, "Then on that day David delivered first this psalm to thank the Lord into the hand of Asaph and his brethren. Give thanks unto the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the people. Sing unto him, sing psalms unto him, talk ye of all his wondrous works. Glory ye in his holy name." And then notice this phrase, "Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Seek the Lord and his strength, seek his face continually. Remember his marvelous works that he hath done, his wonders and the judgments of his mouth. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord." What happens for those that seek the Lord is God will never disappoint us. You say, "Well, I have everything I want." No. But you know what? When God is everything that you want, then you will have it. When you realize that God keeps us from getting things, or God keeps us from going somewhere at a certain time, or being able to be around a certain person, so that we will seek him, and in seeking him, we will be rejoicing. Rejoicing in our heart will be brought when we seek the Lord. Look with me in closing at 2 Chronicles 12. Really the result of Rehoboam's life and choosing not to seek. 2 Chronicles 12 and verse number 15. Bible says, "Now the acts of Rehoboam, first and last, are they not written in the book of Shemaiah, the prophet, and of Iddo the seer, concerning genealogies? And there were wars between Rehoboam and Jeroboam." Continually. You see, under Rehoboam, the nation of Israel was divided, Israel and Judah. Rehoboam was king of Israel, and Jeroboam the other. The Bible says this, they had wars continually. Continually. The Bible tells us that if we will seek the Lord, we will rejoice. We will seek the Lord continually. Rehoboam experienced wars the rest of his serving because he failed to seek the Lord. You see, you and I can choose to struggle our way through life every single day. We can choose to barely get by or to go from this job to the next looking for more pay. Or we can choose to seek the Lord for today and not to take thought for tomorrow. There may be a lot of tomorrows ahead for you. Don't miss the todays because your desire is to have a better tomorrow. Yes, we are to look long-term into the future. But do you understand that when you seek the Lord today, you are laying up a good future for yourself, but also for the generations to come. If I choose to seek the Lord every day of my life, every person has a choice. It would be my prayer that my grandchildren will seek to walk with God as well. Solomon failed, and then Rehoboam failed. Seek the Lord for the future generations. Seek the Lord today. When you choose to seek the Lord, you will not be disappointed in him. Psalm 34, verse 10, "The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing." Proverbs 28, verse 5, "Evil men understand not judgment, but they that seek the Lord understand all things." It's a very simple point today with this thought of seeking the Lord, start to finish. 2022, we're just 2 days into it. What are you going to do this year? I have no idea what this year holds, nor do you. I do know that if I walk with the Lord through it, I'll come to December 31st, 2022, thankful for what God has done and rejoicing. Because those that seek the Lord allows their hearts to rejoice.